approve. Board members Frank Perrin, John Peters, Scott Woodward, Steve Chamberlain, and myself, Emily Group, are present. Cindy Hewitt is here to take notes. In the audience, John Moore and, Christina Chamberlain are here. Are there any additions to the special meeting agenda?
I don't know about additions, but we don't have in our agenda going back out into open session. I think we are teed up some decisions for tonight. No?
It's all
executive session.
No, the first part is not.
Right. But I think...
And we've got a couple other things, but we can do the executive session.
Well, I'm assuming we're trying to tee up some decisions for tonight. Were we not? Or are we not making...
That was my thought.
Okay, so we probably do need to amend the agenda to include an open meeting session after the executive session.
And maybe public comments and other stuff here if there wants to.
Yep.
And all that too.
We'll put open meeting possible decisions. I have also, if you're willing to do something about it today, a liquor permit, which I do not have the physical permit, but it came on email from Silo Distillery. I can pull that up for Artistry, the 6th of June, I think. And also, the state salt contract is buy-in to be participate in that is due on Friday. Do you know anything about that, Frank?
It's all done. It's all done. We're on that. If you open that Excel thing, you'll see that we're on the list.
Okay.
When is our first meeting? June. So our first meeting in June is the 5th.
I could find that. I can send that to either. Can you print to the printer? Can you send a print item to the printer, Frank? Still?
I think so.
Let me see if I can. And here it is. I will. Sent that to all of you. Becky did not get that, and I did send that to her. Anything else that you want to put on the agenda? They also asked in that letter, you'll see, about a blanket permit. Does that have to be done when they apply for their annual license? Or does that you remember you did that for them?
I don't think so. It just has to get approved by.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be done with an annual license, but.
Well,
after.
If you read her email, you'll see that she asked for that as well. I need a motion to add the amendments to the agenda.
Just one point on the. We don't necessarily have to do it tonight. Since it seems like we're trying to get the permit done. But just as a matter of formality, when we approve these permits, we're actually approving them as the local liquor commission, not as the select board. which is a different, we act as a different statutory body when we do that. So we should be exiting a select board meeting and entering a meeting of the local liquor commission. And we don't have to do it tonight, but that's something we should talk about, making sure we dot that I and cross that T.
That action didn't come through.
Let me see what I think we can do here. John, they sent that to you as well.
They did. I can't print from my phone, and my computer won't load the email right now. I wish I don't think I can print from my phone. But yes, I did get it.
Let me see if we can
try.
Anyway, I still need a motion on the...
Oh, it loaded.
Let me see if I just send that, if that will change.
It's June 14th. Did you say, Emily, June 14th?
I thought it was on June 6th. We can take it up at the next meeting if you want.
It's not until June 14th.
Well, they sent the attachment three times. I didn't read all of them, make sure they were all the same. But
we could do it at the next meeting. We're not.
See if you get it this time, Frank. If not, we'll...
I got something.
I've got it here.
I need a motion on the agenda changes.
So moved.
All those in favor of the agenda changes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any public comment on items not on the agenda? No? Okay. Then we'll start with discussion and adoption of working road foreman and road commissioner job descriptions. Has anybody given any thought to those?
Where were we at? Were we supposed to kind of tag team on it during the meeting, or was somebody bringing some drafts?
I did not bring. I have the ones from last year. I did not have any drafts. I looked at the one on VLTC's toolkit, and that seemed to be somewhat similar. I think we've got to decide what kinds of duties we want the road commissioner to attend to, and what kind of duties we want the road foreman to attend to, and then who we want him to report to. And so those are decisions that are going to have to be made before we can move forward on that.
Thank you.
So if you start at the document of the road foreman job description, it starts out right at the beginning. The road foreman works under the supervision of the road commissioner. Okay, so is that how you want that to happen? Or do you want him another? The reason I feel that, I personally feel that these job descriptions need to be, thank you, Frank, need to be addressed is that it appears as though the system isn't really working particularly well.
Emily, which document are you looking at?
I'm looking at the road foreman job description.
At our road, at the current?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't want the road foreman to report to the road commissioner?
I'm saying this is a board decision. I personally feel, I feel that there's a redundancy involved here. If you let people just call the town garage and say, I have a problem, and don't have a middleman in there, you may get some responses that are a lot quicker. The way it is right now, they call Frank, and then Frank finds whoever's at the town garage or not, and it's just another step.
But that doesn't—it doesn't have to be that way.
No, it doesn't. But that's the way it is right now.
I'm not sure that it is always. I mean, I think sometimes people go straight to Art. They don't always go to you, Frank, do they?
No, no. I mean, they call the garage. I mean, it's a mixed bag.
Right. So I don't think right now we have the scenario you're describing.
Well, that's what it says on the, if you pull up the highway department, that's what it says, is call Frank, and if that doesn't work, call the down garage.
Right. So it is a mixed, right now, I mean, that's what the website says. And that, it's designed that way so that if you don't get one, you can get the other. But it's not, that doesn't to me read like, you have to go through one person. So I'm not sure what doesn't work about that.
I mean, I would think generally I think a lot of this kind of ends up depending on who's in what seat. But if you've got some, I mean, if it's something major, then if you have a road commissioner, they obviously need to be involved.
Right, and
you know, if I were the road commissioner, I don't know, I would necessarily wouldn't be bothered with everything either. So always bothered me, I don't know.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, if we're talking,
trying to direct people one way or the other.
Right. So we're talking about addressing road issues.
Right.
Like we've got washout here, or so. I mean, today I think there it can happen either way today. And sometimes people go straight to the garage.
They do. Yeah.
They don't always call Frank.
No, they don't. But I think it may be important to have one person as the quote unquote contact person to start with. If you don't get an answer from them, maybe move up or down the list, and maybe it should be the responsibility of the road foreman as to when the road commissioner needs to get involved. Maybe we should be the other way around. I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, I would think that if there's...
We need to have some way of directing people to...
The thing is, the average person who might have a complaint or a concern, they're not going to know necessarily whether it's something that is so important.
Right.
So you just get a hold of somebody. And then between the road foreman and the road commissioner, you figure out what the right course of action is. You know, I mean, I don't. Are we talking about supervisory, or are we just talking about handling complaints?
Well, I think we've also got to figure out who we want a road foreman to report to. In the past, we had a road foreman that reported to the select board. He came in and told us what was going on. We made the decision, and he's supposed to carry it out.
But did we?
And personally, I thought that worked better because we all knew exactly what was going on. And I know one of your complaints has been, you don't know what's going on.
Are you describing a scenario where there wasn't a road commissioner and just a road foreman, or there was a road foreman and a road commissioner?
There have been road commissioners, and the road foreman still reported to the select board.
Oh, okay.
When Melanie and Michael were road commissioners, he reported to the select board.
Yeah.
He didn't report to them. One of the things, I get frustrated when I get every person that comes into my greenhouse says, the roads are terrible. I don't have any idea what's going on because I'm not running the show.
Okay, so I think part of this really on the question of supervision is what is the most effective way? I think, and Frank, a lot of this comes down to whether how much you want to play that role. You know, I think,
yeah.
I mean, my what I've seen play out over the past while is that, and don't take this the wrong way, but I think there's some things you're really, really good at, like the engineering part, but I don't know that you love the personnel part of it. And I don't know that any of us do. But the personnel... So here's kind of what I see as the challenge is it generally makes sense to have a chain of command where you've got either the road commissioner and the road foreman and the crew, or just the road foreman and the crew and no road commissioner at all and just the road foreman reports to the board. But either which way, there's got to be some... One of the things that we are weak at, very weak at, is personnel management, no matter what setup we have. So I think if Frank's going to continue to play the role of road commissioner where he's sort of organizing major projects and kind of what you've wanted to do, which is to have the big picture view of what's going on and guide all that, which I think is really valuable for the board. Because I don't know that the rest of us have time to do that, and you've got the competence to do it. But in terms of the personnel management side, I think we got to figure out how to tackle that. If the road foreman's just going to report to the board, I really think the board should take Jill's advice by either hiring a part-time HR person that the board can leverage to actually keep us straight on HR, or appoint one of us who would be willing to do that role and can actually do that role. And what I mean by that is that's not a supervisory role. It is really just a role to make sure that all the things that we haven't done well at, we actually start doing right. Like scheduling and making sure that we're having those conversations that Jill said we should be having, and getting the feedback, doing written documentation, all the stuff we should be doing, somebody's got to keep us straight on that. Whether that's a road commissioner or somebody on the board or somebody we hire as sort of a part-time HR person, we've got to me, that's the nut to crack. Otherwise, I think it's fine if the road foreman reports directly to the board. That's from a supervisory standpoint, I think. But we just have to make sure we cover our bases in terms of doing it the right way in terms of personnel management. That would be my big concern.
I think unless you're going to give your personnel management task to your commissioner and make them responsible for it, it's ultimately the select board's responsibility. And so they really ought to be the ones that are dealing with it. That doesn't mean that you don't have an HR person as well. They're just the person that's responsible for carrying out some of the decisions that you made and hiring you on HR matters. But
I think we've kind of proved to ourselves that we're not very good at it.
Right.
And we, I personally think we should do a lot better. And doing better in my mind means either hiring that expertise or finding the expertise within the board. Again, it's not a supervisory role. It's really just something to keep us as a board straight on what we're supposed to do from an HR standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think having somebody outside of the board would be a bad idea.
I don't think so either. It would be a good idea.
I think it would be the best idea. At this point, the board's proven that it's not capable of doing it, so why is it going to get better going forward? If you hire it done, then it's done.
Yeah, so I think, I guess, if the board were to commit itself to hiring that expertise, I think that gives us a lot of flexibility in terms of how we structure the supervisory chain. And I think, Frank, if it were amenable to you, that might free you up to kind of do the job in a way that might be more appealing. You know?
Well, certainly the, you know, the supervisor part's been a big problem. I'm not sure. Maybe we should try it without a road commissioner. It'd be fine with me. I mean, I'm out of time. That's why I've been sending you guys emails about what's been going on, because there's a myriad of things, you know, that are going on. And I just don't have the time to do it anymore. In fact, I'm trying to figure out how to ease my way out of this. And as I announced, you know, time. And there's some other considerations, too, which maybe we can talk about in executive session. But we certainly could try it that way. It would be fine with me. You know, we've got lots of things that need to be done, and it's just a matter of, do we shove those things off to the road foreman? You know, all the complaints about my culvert, you know, the road's washing out. I've got, I won't say a complaint, but, you know, there's two places apparently in South Pomfret where the brook's washing out the bank and getting towards the road. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, there's the river, the
and every storm that we get, it's just going to get worse.
Yep, they're all going to get worse.
And it's not like they don't all need to be done, and we don't know it.
I think if you had an actual working road commissioner where you actually hired a person that worked whatever amount of hours a week, and they had a task of whatever it might be, part of that could be getting the complaints from the public. But when you have basically somebody that's putting in the time that they can to get as much done as they can, you know, not putting in all the hours that they're actually spending on things, having that person handle the complaints, I would think, is a little much. And we do have a road crew. One should have a road crew that's good enough to handle the day-to-day stuff. And if they get a complaint that some bridge is collapsed, then it's going to be a bigger problem than the road department. And that's when they need to get somebody else involved. And I think if that's clear to them, I think that would work fine.
Well, and I think another way to look at it, too, is, as you put it, John, is getting out of the day-to-day stuff. But we, Frank, I don't know if you would agree with this, but we still have some pretty big projects that need to get steered by somebody. And I know you had an interest in some of these projects that need to get done. And I don't know if maybe that's the role for the road commissioner, is to be more of the big projects that have to get done. Because I don't know that, I mean, we collectively as a board have minimal amount of time, and somebody's got to drive the projects to completion. So that might be another way to come at the road commissioner's job, is to really tailor it more for long-term big projects, doing the legwork on setting those up. And that might, I don't know if that's appealing, Frank, but that might.
Well, I think hopefully if you have a road foreman that is a working road foreman, hopefully a lot of this tedious stuff that Frank has been doing, and it's been tedious and time consuming, you could hand off to them, and that could happen and be, you know, like, how long did you spend doing those test holes? All day? Half a day? Those kinds of things. You were up there, I assume.
No, I guess got everything set up. The John and Art spent the time with them. But just getting those things set up.
That takes a significant amount of time. And you know, getting the paving guy to come and look at the whatever. Just grants alone takes a significant amount of time. And I don't think any road foreman that you have is going to do that. That's a, more of an administrative thing. And it may be that if Frank doesn't want to do it, we'll have to hire a grant writer. And that's okay. Or maybe one of us else can do it. I truly am not looking for another job, but we've all got to kind of step up to the plate. So, to get back to the problem at hand, do we want the road foreman to report directly to the board?
It sounds like to me.
With the caveat, I think, well, I don't know whether I've heard a couple of people say it, but are we also, with the caveat that we would hire the expertise to keep us straight? Because I personally wouldn't be...
My question is, what's the, on that, thinking about it, what's to keep us straight?
What do we...
If we hire a working road foreman that's capable of doing the job, mm-hmm. he would be in charge of doing the employee reviews, mm-hmm. as he should. Seems how he's working with them on a day-to-day basis and knows their performance better than what we would. So the only thing we have to do is, number one, make sure that they get done, and number two, we do the review of only the road foreman.
That's true, but there's a lot that goes into all of that, and that's not to say that the road foreman wouldn't need help as well.
Then that would be up to the road foreman. I mean, they would come to us and say, hey...
Well, I certainly would entertain the idea of an HR person if necessary. But I think I wouldn't say that we would change this scheme on that as a definitive, yes, we'll hire one regardless. We may find that these things, even when Art was doing the evaluations of the crew members, they were getting done.
Not very well.
Verbally.
Yeah, not very well.
But another point is just a nuanced thing is one of the things we changed was is that the road foreman was approving his own hours.
Right.
And we'll need to have some way of a board member being responsible for approving your hours because mm-hmm. we really shouldn't let an employee approve their own hours. They can approve the crew, but you know, it's just smart. It's safety for both us and the person.
Right.
You know, if somebody's looking over that. So that's just a minor thing that we just got to be cognizant of. That was a big change because before Art was submitting all the time for all the guys, himself and the guys, and approving them. And, you know, that mm-hmm. it's not criminal, but it's just a good idea to, you know, to do that. But that's an easy thing. Just somebody will get assigned, he sends it to them, and they check it off.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
So do we want to change that to have the road foreman work under the supervision of the select board?
I'm only in favor of it if we also commit to hiring some outside expertise.
I like the idea of him reporting to us. That way we hear from the horse's mouth.
Are you willing to stipulate that we hire the HR person if indeed we find we need it? If things don't fall into place?
We need it. There's no question we need it. We if we haven't learned yet.
I don't know if you have to have somebody that's. I mean, I think it's a hire an HR person as needed. You're going to need them for such things as, you know, you get a new employee. You're going to, there's a,
right.
Somebody's got to be responsible for all of the paperwork and making sure it's all done correctly. I mean,
right.
Going through on a day-to-day basis, I don't think.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean as
but, you know, hiring a new employee, potentially around employee review time.
Mm-hmm. All those regular...
Anytime that you might have a problem with an employee that isn't resolved simply by the road foreman saying, you know, hey, this is going on, let's fix it. If it, you know, there's anything more than that, you really need to make sure you've got the HR person so that things get documented properly so we don't end up in a sticky situation.
How often do you do reviews? It's recommended that we do them after 6 months or before 6 months because there's a probationary period on a new employee. And then at least annually, but what Jill Muir suggested the other night when she came was that for a while we would do them semi-annually, especially if there were problems.
And there's also, it's not just the annual review, too, as Jill highlighted in her presentation. There's lots of stuff that has to go on throughout the year to make sure you're doing it right. So, yeah, I don't think there's a question whether there's a need already. I don't think it's a wait and see. I think we know we need it.
Yeah, I think that the road foreman reported to the board about what's going on in town as far as maintenance of town infrastructure is good. To make sure that you've got things documented properly, I think, is the biggest thing.
Well, I also think it's important that the communication from a road foreman can go both ways. If they come and report to you, they can also discuss with you what the projects are, and they will get a decision from the board. And then I can't go down there and tell them to do something else. Or you can't. And it puts them in a difficult position if that happens. And I'm not saying that's happened recently, but in years past, that has happened. And that isn't right, and it isn't acceptable. It makes it difficult for the person involved, the road foreman, whoever that may be. And I think that's important to make a decision, whether it's by consensus or by vote, and then that's what he's to do. And if there's a problem, then he'll have to come back to the board. If things don't work as If plan A doesn't work, plan B is going to have to be manufactured.
So we ask the road, what about prioritization? Like right now, you know, I mean, or let's say after the storm, is he going to get any input from us, you know, fix road A, fix road B, or we're going to just, you know, say...
I would think he would come to us with some kind of a plan as to what he thinks the priorities are, and then if we think we need to shuffle that around, we make that decision.
Does that happen every two times a month, or you know, that's the flying ointment is what happens when something pops up? I mean, you know, and I don't know what the answer is.
Well, one thing when Emily and I were at the Sharon Select Board meeting. One of the things I noticed is that not only do they have a long-term projects plan with budget allocated for it, but their road foreman came to the meeting with, these are the things I'm going to do over the next while. And to me, that's exactly what we need, is we need a road foreman that... can bring a plan can say yay or nay, adjust it, whatever. And then, of course, if the road foreman has to react to something that happens in between, you react, and that's just how it goes. And if there's anything really major that requires the board's attention, like a major storm or something, you know, you just, if you have to call a meeting, you call a meeting, and you deal with it that way. But otherwise, I think having that every 2 weeks, have the road foreman bring a plan. But that's what we've been missing. That's the world you've been trying to build, Frank, is trying to get that plan together. But that would be the way to handle it.
Yeah, and what I did during the winter, it was hardly any, day-to-day stuff. It was like, you guys know if it storms, I'm not going to run down there and tell you, oh, it's time to whatever. So the road crew really ran itself, and it really only came to project stuff when spring comes, and then all of a sudden snow's gone, and we've got all these things that have popped up. I think we should go back to that. That'd be fine with me.
Did you, when you read this, did you see anything else that stood out to you that needs to be changed? I mean, all these safety things and everything, those were all in that BLTC toolkit. I didn't think this varied all that much from what the toolkit had. I can't say that it certainly wasn't verbatim.
Yeah, job descriptions is there, but you can't cover every contingency. So I think the intent of what we want is someone that can take care of our roads, and the other stuff is kind of boilerplate. Really, I think the root of it is just to figure out who's going to, if we want to change it, just change the first.
Well, we'll have to go further down. There's a couple more sections.
I think the job description ought to be fairly short and to the point about what the actual responsibilities of the person are. Something that we really need is and a lot of it is spelled out in our personnel policy. We really need an employee handbook. We've got employees. We're an employer.
So that's a good thought, John.
Which is a bigger topic other than tonight, but that's where you get into proper procedures of safety and the way you do certain things, and so that whoever's working knows, today we're putting an X culvert, and here's the specifications, we should be following. Whether you put it in there in black and white, or you tell them where to find it, but. That way, when something doesn't go as the way it should be, then there's something you can point to say this is the way it should have been done.
I think if we should almost delay these until after our executive session, because we might make. If we make a decision, we might be able to tailor it more for the candidate that we, what I'm saying?
Well, we can do that. That's up to the board.
I just think we
need to have an up to date.
We do.
And if things are spelled out clearly, I think that's a start. If we get a new employee, it's a good start to have things clear for them and for us.
And after we make our decision on who, I think it'd be a lot easier to do this.
All right.
Instead of whether or not we feel comfortable, how much we want to put on.
We've got an open meeting afterwards, so we can do that.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad way to do it. It is kind of a.
It's a bad
the applicants we have, and you're always going to tailor responsibilities to what you have for a candidate, but it's a backwards way of doing it. You really want to have a concrete set of a job description when you're looking for a candidate, but the applications aren't flying through the door either, so.
There weren't any more, no more applications came in, did there, Frank?
No, not to me, and I'll look in my mailbox just to double check.
Let's delay this. Do you want to do anything with the road commissioner's job description tonight? Or if we are going to only have a road commissioner that is going to do grants and stuff and major projects, do we just want to let that slide for the moment?
Sure.
Okay.
I think we can finalize that after the executive session.
Okay. I have on here, you did this salt contract. I have a How Hill update. Scott, you were there at the meeting. Do you want to talk about that?
Nothing was decided other than it, nothing was decided. But the discussion was that it would be advantageous, assuming petroleum prices don't keep going up too crazy, that it would be financially advantageous for both towns to try and time the paving project into one project. There's pretty substantial cost savings. Sharon has to, they're looking at a possible bond vote to do it. We are not. So we have a little bit of freedom. So we're if we decide to go that route, it's great if Sharon voters approve it, but then we always have the ability to execute on our own if we have to. So I think the upshot is that we also talked about how to get some attention on Howell Hill Road from the state and even the legislature. And I did put some phone calls into some legislators after the meeting without any results, but I am going to knock on V-Trans' door as well. But I wouldn't hold out any great hope that we're going to shake any trees and get some money. But I think right now, and we haven't obviously made a decision, but if we decide to put off Howell Hill Road and try and time it with Sharon, obviously it means we're going to need to do something else with that paving money, whether it's other paving projects or potentially use the money for other reasons, other projects. So I think that's pretty much the upshot.
I talked to John after the meeting, and I asked him to send us an email, which I think I forwarded to you. Did you all get that? That there's a possibility that we could save about $50,000 to $60,000 on the price of the materials, the asphalt, and the regrind, and all of that, so that. And so I talked to him after the meeting, and I said, so we can't really put off. There's a few places there that really need to be shim-coated or patched or something so that, where the gravel is showing through. And what my thought was... when I got to thinking about it when I got home, is we have $200,000 in this year's paving budget. If we pave the section from Bartley Brook down to Tego, there's a small section up on State Road. I'm not sure where, because I don't drive that road very often. I think it's up past Edna Luce's. And then there's a section that didn't get paved from like Jerry Jaycox's down to the town line. If we got Pike or whoever, if we did a bid to pay that this year, could we add that those shim coats on those various sections to get us through for another year? And we might get a paving grant next year. And then we could work on getting a bid out, get the bid and RFP ready for that project for next year. They made it quite clear there's no guarantee that their bond will pass. But I don't see if the Shimco kept us alive for a year, I don't see if that didn't cost very much money, and I don't have any idea what that would cost. We don't have much to lose.
Shim on where? How hill?
Well, just on those places where there's great big potholes.
Well, there's places all over town. There's actually a place down, well, just before you get to Greg Tuttle's big field, the pavement's open right up, and there's three or
and
four
so,
places
but
like
but
that.
If you have them in here, if you have them in here for $200,000 worth of paving, and you made that part of it, they probably wouldn't stick us too bad, would they?
I don't know. I mean, we'd have to ask them. Because there's a couple of places where the pavement's rattled up. I think there's a spot on Stage Road that, and several other places. I mean, you just drive around, there's lots of potholes. I think there's a spot down by Bartlett Brook coming up through that's got a bad spot. And those are all places that if we continue to leave them open, water gets in them, and especially these cracks down or on the north end, they sit full of water, and you know, you're just asking for trouble there. And so those are places that need attention either by our road crew, which you know, the resources are limited, getting the hot box out and fixing those, or rolling it into a paving contract and just having those guys come and you know, pound some pavement into those places. So.
You know, if we're not going to do half of the road this year, we're far better off spending some money on fixing pavement that we've got before it gets worse.
Well, that's my feeling. We didn't talk with them specifically more than 10 minutes, did we, Scott? But I expressed to them, you know, I'm not the board, but we have other issues with other paving. We don't have to pave Howell Hill this year. We probably, if the money was right, we would be game to wait a year and patch those few places that really need attention badly. And then if we could wrap it into a paving contract, we've got some other roads that are in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what a shim coat up there is going to cost. I mean, you start talking $20,000 or something like that.
Thought it's shim coat or just shimming the low spots?
I personally was thinking that the places, if you're going to grind it all up next year anyway, which is what you're talking about, right?
Yep.
So if you're going to grind it all anyway, I would fix those potholes where, you know, you've got a 4-inch pothole where you hit it and you know you hit it. And, like, for instance, where that opened up and you put coal patch in front of the cemetery, the back cemetery entrance, you know, fill that in there so that the water just doesn't go down through it. And there's a couple of, I drove it with a tractor yesterday, there's a couple other places, but there isn't. That's not going to take care of that hump down by below the crest of the hill, but that we can take care of with the other. We can probably live with the hump, but
well, as long as Sharon's side stays worse than ours,
I don't think there's any problem there. They said they were going to put in some culverts, and eventually they were talking drainage underneath theirs. And John Harrington suggested that we put fabric underneath it once you get it ground up. But I wouldn't do a whole shim coat for the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Would you?
No, absolutely not. It's a waste of money.
That's what I thought. But I think those few potholes really have got to get fixed.
It'd be nice.
I'm sick of hitting them myself.
Well, the other thing we got to talk about is apparently Two Rivers is doing culvert inventories and evaluations, and we need to think about if we want to upgrade those culverts up through there too.
And you may want to do that.
We're going to get done. Yeah, now's the time to do that.
Well, they've been in there since the mid-60s, I would guess. Anyway, Do you want to get Pike up here to look at it? Or do we want to figure out if we want to pave something?
I would say if we're going to wait to go into the sharing, we ought to be prioritizing our list for this year to get some of our other stuff taken care of. If we're going to wait a year, then there's no question as to...
Do you want to figure out where we might want to pave before the next regular meeting, and we'll get an RFP together?
Well, you know, it might be better if you get some, you know, John and Art involved too, because they sort of both of them been involved and stuff. I'm not really sure. You seem to have an idea of what you think, and I don't know. I don't recall that I've been on the board long with what's old pavement, what's new pavement, what should be done. So, but I think something should work on.
I mean, from riding around Bartlett Brook back to Tego Store is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk to Art about it, Steve, and John? Kind of get a consensus? We'll figure it out at the next meeting, perhaps?
I can do that.
Okay. Let's do this liquor permit. This is for Silo Distillery, and the date is Friday, June 14th, 5:30 to 8:30, gallery opening and a concert. Need a motion.
Make a motion to approve the liquor permit for June 14th, right?
Yep.
For Silo and Artistry.
I need a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Scott, do you know whether I have to sign this or whether Becky signs this, or do we both?
The board signs it.
Do we all have to sign it?
Unless we made a motion, we could modify the motion and just authorize Emily to if we wanted to. Six of one, half a dozen of other.
It's whatever you prefer.
Our motion already passed, unless it's signed.
Yeah.
Okay, I also have, Ellen didn't realize, but I have two, a payroll and a warrant here that we should have added. Are we willing to take these up?
Where's the signature page? I think it's just one page. We'll just have to scribble on something.
Ellen asked me to approve these, and do you know there was an item under highway buildings and grounds for $1,800 on the credit card? And I told her I didn't have any clues.
Yeah.
Is that?
It's actually going to. It's actually going to come off as a credit. I bought a compactor for the rotor for collar replacement, and when the guys got it, it was defective, and so I took it back, and they didn't want to replace it. They had to refund it. So that $1,800 will show up as a credit in the next.
So then she should pay this bill, and then you'll get some money back somewhere.
Yes.
So I have this is check warrant 18108 in the amount of 8420.74. No, that's just accounts payable. And the payroll one is 18107. And the payment total is 6171.46. So I move that we pay 18107 and 18108. Do you guys want to look at these before we approve them? All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, we've done the liquor permit. I think we now need to go into executive session to finish the personnel evaluations and review the road foreman job applications and interviews. John, you usually make a motion, or Scott, would you like to make the appropriate motion to do that?
I'll find it here.
Thank you for coming, guys.
Make a motion that we enter into an executive session, 1 VSA 313, Section 3, the appointment or employment or evaluation of a public officer or employee.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Do you want Cindy to leave and we'll just tell her if there's any action taken? Thank you very much for coming, Cindy.